In Ezra Hashem, the 8th chapter of Shabbos, Hamotzi Yayin, on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, and we had described at the end of the previous perek various shiurim, measurements of foodstuffs, in order to have the minimum amount that you chayv for hotzah, for carrying them on Shabbos. And now we're going to deal with beverages, liquids, other substances, and what the shiurim are, minimum, for meleches hotzah. Hamotzi yayin, in the old days, what they had was concentrated wine. Like we, when I was a kid, we used to have concentrated orange juice. You had to add a certain amount of water it down. So they would have to blend water with concentrated grape juice, or I should say wine, and the shear of hotzah depends upon kedei mezigas kos. In other words, he has enough of concentrated wine such that if he adds water to mix it with the wine, he will have a full kos. Now, exactly, you know, what the ratio would be, in other words, how much would you have to have of concentrated wine in order that if you dilute it with the water, it would come up with a full cup of wine? And that, of course, depends also on the size of the cup of wine. That's going to be the discussion in the Gemara. The Mishnah goes on, with regard to cholov, if he carries milk, the shear is kedei gemia. Gemia means when you fill up your mouth and you swallow it. That's the amount of milk that you would consume in one single swallowing, one gulp. And exactly how much of a shear, what is the measurement for milk, and whether the same measurement would apply for kosher milk and non-kosher milk, this is something that we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem as we go along. Dvash, if he carries dvash, then kedei litein hakosis. And this means he has enough to place on a wound or a sore. Rashi identifies kosis as a blister. And this was very common in the animals. They would have blisters, mostly because of the saddle or the burden that the animals, the horses, the camels, and donkeys would carry on their back. And we're talking about blisters, and what they would do is they would use kosis, they would use the honey as a kosis. And that means that would sort of soften the sensitive area of the skin as a result of this blister. Rashi quotes his Rebbeim, who say that this word kosis could refer to an abrasion, some sort of cut, an open wound on the back of one's hand, perhaps one's leg. And the shear dvash for melech sotzah is kedei litein hakos, is to put upon this sore. Now we move on to shemen. What's the shear of oil that yechayv hotzah? Kedei losuch eiver katan. Now what is an eiver katan, a small limb in the body? That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Let's say it's a finger. And all you need is enough oil so that if you put your finger in, or we'll see what Aver is, Aver cotton, it would suffice. And then we have Mayim. What's the shear of Mayim? Kidei loshuf bohem es hakilor. Kilor is also some sort of a medicine. And this medicine, in its raw state, was way too strong to put in the eye as salve for the eye. You'd have to mix it with water and prepare this concoction as medicinal for the eye. Now, when they mix the water together with the kilar. It would the mixture would create a certain kind of solid paste, and it would be an ointment that you could use on your eye. And this ointment is called a kilar. and it was quite common back in the time of the Gemara. So you added water to a certain mixture, to mix it with a paste, and you made it into an ointment, and then it was applied to the eyes. And the base of this ointment was called kilar, so you'd have to add a certain amount of water in order to get this kilar. And the word lashuf is to mix. Ushar kol mashkim b'revius. So we have a list here that includes yayin, cholov, dvash, and shemen and mayim. And with regard to all other mashkim, then the Mishnah says b'revius, the shear. The minimum shear for any other mashke other than this list would be a revius. Now, everything that we had in the Mishnah, I shouldn't say everything, but almost everything, was medicinal in nature. So when we talk about most liquids that are used for drinking purposes, then the shear is a revius. And this is a larger measurement than the various measurements that I mentioned earlier, so says the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua analyzes why the minimum shear for milk is less than a revius. And I guess that without going into details, the other liquids that I mentioned earlier in the Mishnah have such a significant role in life, in society, whether it's medicinal or milk and the like, that there's a chashivas to even less than a revius. Now, exactly what a revius is, I don't know. It's usually considered, well, l'chumra, we call it over 4 ounces, perhaps 4.1, 4.3 ounces. L'kula, we usually say it's around 3.2 ounces. That is the machlokas here between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish. I mean, it goes on and on. But technically, as Rashi points out here, the shear of revius is the equivalent of 1.5 beitzim. Now, at the end of the Mishnah here, then the first part of the Mishnah before Rabbi Shimon, it says, "Kol ha-shofchim b'revius." This is wastewater. Now, wastewater is not something that you want to drink. But nevertheless, it does have a purpose, it does have a function. The Gemara is going to explain why. And once again, the shear of that wastewater is a revius. Now, Reb Shimon is cholek on the Tanakama, and even if one carries wine, milk, honey, he has to carry out the shear of a revius. Even though we said there's a chashivas in less than a revius, Rabbi Shimon omer kulon b'revius. V'lo nemru kol ha-shirim halalu el limatzni ehen. So according to Reb Shimon, when we talk about a smaller shear, and again, I'm explaining this Mishnah without Rashi. Rashi might have a different approach, and Reb Shimon is not cholek on the Tanakama as far as oil or water is concerned, but leave that for the side. According to Reb Shimon, with regard to the more minimal measurements which the Tanakama mentions in our Mishnah, that's something that's relative. It's not objective. So, for example, if someone in the past has stored small amounts of these substances, these liquids, now he takes them out on Shabbos and he carries them in Rosh Hashanah, since he has already stored them in the past for whatever purpose, that indicates a chashivas in his eye. But for the amcha, meaning the balance of the population, people had never stored away these small amounts, they wouldn't be chayv according to Reb Shimon unless they were motzi a revius of these liquids. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees with a principle that was formulated by a mission in the previous parak in Klal Gadol on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis, that if a person stores a minimum of a substance, he's chayev if he takes it out into Rishus HaRabin. And that rule is rejected by Rav Shimon because he opines that even if someone stores a substance, he's only going to be chayev if it has the shear that is stored by most people, or at least occasionally by other people. However, in our Mishnah, these are unique cases where Rabbi Shimon would agree that if someone has already, he has a record, a track record of storing small quantities of these substances like milk and wine and oil and honey and so forth, then he's going to be chayev. But that's because other people would also store smaller substances, smaller quantities of these substances. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it's called a kosher latznia, umatznia kemo votzio b'shabes chayv chatas lo. And our Mishnah is an extension of that Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Hey, applying it to various liquids that are fit to store. People, you know, normally store it, and you have an amount that's worth storing. Even a rich person who maybe would not store it, even he's going to be chayv. And our Mishnah is offering and formulating the minimum amounts and shiurim for various substances which are normally, you know, put away. And Rav Shimon is not going to go that far. He seems to require that an individual would have to prove that he actually stored that minimum quantity. And in the absence of that proof, then kulon berevius velo nemu kol shiurim alolu el lematzniyehem. So it's not objective, it's subjective. And matzniyehem means individuals who actually went ahead and stored the minimum quantity that we spoke about, and then he'll be chayv for hotzah. It seems that we could summarize and say that the Chachamim, the Tanakama, and following the previous Mishnah, that Shita would have it that it's objective. We set up objective chashivus in terms of different substances and liquids, whereas, I'm sorry, did I say subjective? I stand corrected. According to Tanakama, it's objective, and according to Rav Shimon, it's subjective. The Gemara says, Tana, we learned in a braisa, kedei mezigas kos yofa. So we need enough of a quantity of concentrated wine that if you added water, you would end up with a very nice cup. Umay kos yofa, kos shel bracha, a kos that's used for example, sheva brachas, or perhaps birkas hamazon in general, perhaps for avdolah, for kiddush, a kos shel bracha, which in general we want to embellish a kos shel bracha with a heder mitzvah, and that's called a kos yofa. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos that we once learned back on Nun Aleph in Brachos has a list of 10 different embellishments that require are required vis-a-vis a kos shel bracha. Rashi here quotes, I think, 6 of them. And the Sugya in Brachos discusses which ones are absolutely required. And the Braisa identifies the cup of our Mishnah as the cup for Birchas HaMazon or for any other mitzvah. And yet, the Gemara doesn't know exactly what the size of that cup is. And that's what we're going to have now in the forthcoming discussion in the Gemara, starting with Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Koshel Bracha, Tzorach Shehebo, Rova Revius. It's interesting to me that the Gemara in Brachos that discusses a kos yofa doesn't actually tell you or identify, shall we say, the quantity of yayin, of, let's say, pure wine mixed with water, diluted in order to set up a kos yofa. It's only here in the Gemara in Brachos as far as the shiur of Melechas Hotzah that interests me. Okay. Now, after we have this statement in the name of Rabba Baravua that the kos yofa of Birkas HaMazon, again I'm using Birkas HaMazon as a paradigm for kosher bracha, has to have a revius of mixed yayin, and if you do a mizug, then you're going to need 3 parts of water to 1 part of wine. So basically, the concentrated wine will be a quarter of revius, such that now when you mix it with 3/4 of revius of mayim, you'll end up with a kos shel bracha, what we call a kos yofa. That's how Rashi interprets this sugya. Omar Rava, Af, Anan, Nami. And here we're turning to Daf Ayin Zayim Na'av Tnina. We have learned this in a Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah which is interpreted and embellished by a Braisa. So it's our Mishnah with a Braisa. And it says, Hamotzi Yayin Kidei Mezigas Kos. V'toni Allah. And it says in a Braisa to explain this Mishnah, Kidei Mezigas Kos Yofa. Okay, fine. So we need a kos yofa that would be fitting and appropriate for a kosher bracha. Ketani sefer. Let's go on in the mission. It says shar kol amashkin berevius. So as far as hotzah, in your average liquid, you need a minimum of revius. So therefore, we can understand that you're not chayef for hotzah, for taking out liquids that are meant to be drunk as is. If these liquids are an amount that's less than a revius. So again, if you're talking about a liquid that is drunk as is without dilution, then the amount has to be a minimum of revius. However, in a case of concentrated wine, there a person would be liable if he took out on Shabbos a shear of concentrated wine such that when you mix it, you'll end up with a revius, which means, as we said earlier, we're talking about concentrated wine to the tune of 1/4 of a revius. And if Rava holds that the ratio between water and concentrated wine for the proper dilution is 3:1, then therefore the amount of concentrated wine to produce a revius of mixed wine would be 1/4 of a revius. And you might ask, well, that's not Mefurish Lahedge in the Mishnah, but Rava was formulating his proof on the assumption that this is the ratio, that's the correct ratio. We just need to establish, based on the Mishnah and the Braisa, that although in the case of Yayin in the Mishnah, we don't have a requirement of revius of concentrated wine, but we need at the end of the day a kos yofa. And that kos yofa would be a shear of revius, hence the concentrated wine would be 1/4 of revius. And now we go on. Rava l'tamei, we find that Rava here in our sugi reflects his shita elsewhere, the Omer Rava kol chamra, any wine Delodori al-chad tlos amayim, if it doesn't have 3 parts of water and 1 part of concentrated wine. So let's say, for example, if you diluted it with less or more than 3/4 of, 3:1. Let's say, for example, you had less than 3 parts water for every part of wine. So that would be too concentrated of a wine. Maybe it's not royal shasia for your average person, it's too strong. And therefore, he says, lav chamrahu, and presumably, therefore, you would not be chai from melechas hotzah. Now, you might say, wait a minute, if there's less than 3 parts of water, then adarav, it's a very strong wine, that makes it even a superior quality wine, and he should be chai for hotzah. But again, we come back to the question of objective versus subjective. And Rava holds that the Shem Yayin for Melechas Hotzah is determined by your average, or shall we say, the uniform, standard, customary cup of a wine that's a Yayin, Kos Yayin Yofeh. And that has a certain amount of dilution. So you might say, well, I don't want to dilute it so much. That's not so, because that's not the Cheshivas that's objective for other people. Now, I said to you that according to Rava, there's no Shem Yayin in this case, so it's not diluted. And that really is not precise, because if you take a look at the sugya in the last parak of Psachim, as far as the mitzvah of Shtiyas Dalad Kosos Beleil HaSeder is concerned, you'll find that Shason Chai, and again, different girsos in the Gemara, but Shason Chai Yedei Yayin Yotza, Yedei Cheres Lo Yotza. Okay, Cheres requires a more comfortable, smooth, easy to drink wine. But as far as Shem Yayin is concerned, is Yedei Yayin Yotza. And that would mean that, let's say you recited Kiddush or Birkas HaMazon over a kos of unconcentrated, pure, undiluted wine, you would be Yotze because it does have a Shem Yayin. If you're asking me, would that have Chashivas or not? No. You know, Chashivas is when you get the perfect blend, which is three water to one Yayin. Amar Abai Shtei Tshuvos B'Dover. In other words, Abai wants to reject Rava for two different reasons. Chada, firstly, with regard to the understanding of dilution, this is difficult because this nan, we learned in the Mishnah in Masecht Nida, Ve'hamazug, if the wine is diluted, and this is a Gemara on Daf Yutes, when it refers to different kinds of maros of dam, and different kinds of shades of dam, different kinds of colors that would be considered as dam nida and it's mitamihar. And the Mishnah says mazuk, we need diluted wine, and the Mishnah specifies exactly how and what proportions, what would be the dilution. Shnei chelke mayim v'echad yayin, we're talking about 2 to 1. This is not what Rava said. Rava said it's got to be achad tlos amayim, 1 to 3. Here it's 1 to 2. So that's one objection that Abaye raises against Rava. And the Mishnah in Nida tells us further that shnei chelke mayim v'echad yayin, in addition to this ratio of 2 parts water to 1 part wine, Binayayin Hashironi. This applies, this ratio, to wine that is produced in the Sharon area, which is in the north. It's it's near the Mediterranean Sea, and that's where they produce a lot of wine. And the Mishnah would seem to establish, as we said before, that's Abai's argument, that the ratio is 2 to 1, not as Rava had it 3 to 1. V'od, and furthermore, we have another argument against Rava. Of course, the premise of Rava, that a quarter of a revius of concentrated wine is considered chashuv, and one is going to be chayav for carrying out into Rishus HaRabim a quarter of revius, a revius of her revius, because that's the amount that if combined with water would create a revius. And Rava seems to assume that you're chayev for carrying out pure wine. And the reason why a shear of wine is going to be 1/4 is because it would yield a full revius of mixed wine. Abai asks, Mayim bakad umitztarfim. Can it really be that water is inside the jug and it combines in such a way that someone is chayev, because he carries out a small amount of concentrated wine? That doesn't make any sense. It's not reasonable to postulate that the water is in the barrel, and even though it's in the barrel, it combines in such a way that he didn't even take out this water, but somebody carries out the concentrated wine, he's going to be chayev. And the basic assumption here of Rava, that one is liable for carrying out a minimum shear of pure, undiluted mayim chai, and that's based on the yield of the wine, if it would be mazug. It's true that it will eventually be mazuk, and it will be a kos yofa, and it will be a revius. But at this point, when he's carrying out the wine, it's still concentrated wine. The water has to be mixed with the wine, but that water is still in the barrel, if we want to use that figurative sentence. Where is the water that has to be mixed with this concentrated wine? It's not here. He's not carrying it. So when he carries it out, the wine doesn't have the minimum amount, because the minimum amount would have to be a revius. And therefore, Abaye argues that it's more logical that a person be chayav for taking out a small quantity of wine, simply because a small quantity of wine is useful. But that's not something that you can prove from our Mishnah. To prove from our Mishnah that a quarter of vias of pure, unadulterated, concentrated wine is needed for a kosher bracha, that cannot be proven. No proof from our Mishnah, so argues Abaye, as to the proof that Rava wanted to bring from our Mishnah. Rava wanted to establish from our Mishnah that since you're chayev for taking out on Shabbos, carrying out on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, enough of a quantity of unconcentrated wine so that you can mix this cup of wine and dilute it with water and use it for Birkas HaMazon. Meaning that with regard to other liquids, we said you need a revius. With regard to yayin, we need the amount of concentrated wine that would be needed in order to set up a revius, and for a kosher bracha, you need a revius. So Abaye argues that this assumption that the shear of yayin, of concentrated yayin, for which he's chayav on Shabbos, is based on the fact that it could yield the wine that we need for Birkas HaMazon if and when diluted. Again, Abaye's not denying that it's absolutely emes lamito that eventually, after you mix the water with the wine, you'll end up with that revius. That's not questionable. That's not questioned by Abaye. It's true. The wine will eventually yield that which you need, that amount, when you mix it. But at the time you carried it out, you didn't have that amount of wine that you need, meaning the full revius. So why you be chayav for that? And not only that, but Abaye goes a step further, and he says the following: that if one, for example, carries or travels with 4 amas with honey or with oil, and he's chayev for smaller quantities, we said less than a revius, because of their chashivus. So if they're useful in smaller amounts, then that's fine. He's chayev. That gives a chashivus. Now, in the case of yayin, if he carries pure wine in Rishus HaRavim, he should be chayev for less than a revius, because less than a revius of pure wine is going to be stored away for people for use as a kosher bracha when he adds the water. But not only that, says Abaye, even if that wine would not yield a revius of mixed wine, nevertheless, he still should be chayev because he stored away that amount of concentrated wine. So whether or not that wine that he, the volume of wine that he stored away would or would not yield a revius, that should be irrelevant. And even if it would not give you a revius of diluted wine, nevertheless, you should be chayev. So what's this whole business that you're chayev because it will produce a revius yayin? That's not necessarily so. He could be chayev for less than a revius yayin simply because he would store away that amount. And when it comes to a kosher bracha, he'll bring it out from the storage and he'll add the proper, dilute it in the proper way with three parts of yayin. I mean, three parts of mayim, I meant to say. And if that be the case, then it could be, and here Abai is going l'chumra, that even if you have less than a revius, since he would store it away for future use for a kosher bracha, that's enough to give it to chashivas that he should be violating Melechas Hotso, the Chiyuv Chatos Doraisa. But again, if you ask Abaye, does he accept the premise of Rava, that the minimum shear of wine, of concentrated wine, for which he's Chayev Hotso, is going to be fixed on the basis of what it could yield if it was diluted with water? Again, it's true that if you mix, as we said before, the three parts water with the one part of a concentrated wine, it will yield a revius. But Rav is going a step further, and he's saying you're chayev even before you yield a revius, even before you diluted the wine. And how does Rav know such a thing? Amalei Rav, so Rav responds to Abaye, and he says, the Mishnah Nida indicates that it's 2-1, Liechod Yayin. That's Mina Yayin Hashironi. The Mishnah explicitly mentions this is the wine from Sharon. And Yayin Hashironi Lechud, and the Rafi, he says that the exception to your general rule, we need 3-1, says Rav. The Mishnah Nida says Yayin Hashironi only requires 2-1. That's the exceptional case. Why? Because the wine in Sharon is weak. And if it's weak, you don't want to weaken it more by adding too much water. I mean, you'll add the minimum amount of water that you can get away with. However, your average wine requires dilution with 3 parts of water. And the Mishnah would seem to indicate that that's true, because when the Mishnah had to define diluted wine, you know, the Mishnah used a 2-1 ratio. So, why does the Mishnah use a 2-1 ratio in Masechta Nida? And the answer is, Mishnah Nida holds that a 2-1 dilution ratio of wine, the wine of Sharon, that was the wine that they needed for Maris Nida. In other words, it was the color of red that is almost identical with the color of Dam Nida. And with regard to diluting the wine of Sharon, in order to get that color that you want, that red color that he would use for Tumah, to establish whether it's Tummy or not, that's a ratio of 2-1. In the wine of Sharon, once you dilute it with two parts water to 1 part of concentrated wine, then you end up with a color of red that he needs for establishing the Tumah of Dam. However, if you're talking about the chashivas of yayin, then for most wines at least, the ratio that's appropriate to produce wine after you dilute it would be 3-1 ratio. And you'll end up with a different color of wine, but that's not the issue here. The issue is that you want to get the taste of the wine. So it could be that... let's go to the Inami first. The Inami says that A second possible explanation here is that Hasa Mishum Chazusa, the Mishum Nida, which is totally focused on the appearance, because we're looking for an appearance that approximates the color of Dam Nida, is therefore, since it's Mishum Chazusa, that's why the ratio is 2-1. Avolit Taima Boit Fe. But if you're talking about drinking the wine, then 2-1 is way too concentrated. It's great for creating a color of red, but it's not great for drinking. Uduka Amrit Mayim Bekad Umitztarfin. So again, if Abai is asking Akasha from the Mishnah Nida that sets up the wine of Sharon with a ratio of 2-1, that's not a kash at all, because as far as Dam Nida is concerned, we want to take a ratio of 2-1 like they do in Sharon. But now we get to the second question. Uda Kamen, and you asked, Mayim Bekad Umitztarfim. How can you tell me that you have the Chashivas of Yayin, which means that you have a Revius? Well, you don't really have a Revius unless you're going to combine the water in a kad, as he calls it, to the wine. But he's not taking out the water in the kad. And the answer is linyan shavus midei chashiva bina. V'hanami chashiva. Rava says that the chiyuv hotzah depends upon chashivas. And even though this is only one quarter of a revius yayin, it does have chashivas, because all you have to do is mix it, and you put in three parts of water, and you end up with revius yayin. So again, Abaye was worried about the fact that now he's carrying out concentrated wine to the tune of one quarter of revius. It hasn't yet combined with the water to end up with wine. The wine that we're talking about, the wine that we would drink. But Rava has a different approach. His logic requires that the wine be concentrated wine, because that concentrated wine will eventually be diluted and create the best wine in the business. Therefore, it's logical to fix the minimum shear of yayin based on the chashivus of how much do we have here of wine that will eventually yield, when mixed, a kos yafa. That's the logic of Rava. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Now we get to the case of yayin that congealed. Yavesh b'kezayis divrei Rabbi Nosson. So we're talking about Hotzah on Shabbos, and the Braisa teaches us that if he carried out dried wine, a congealed wine, then he's chayev if he carries out an olive size, kizayis, that's the minimum amount, and that's Rabbi Nosson. Now, what's the logic behind Rabbi Nosson that we're talking about an olive size of Yavesh? So that seems to be based on the fact that an olive size, with regard to congealed wine, is a result of revius. So you started with revius, and now it got congealed. What you end up with after the congealment is an olive-sized piece of congealed wine. And this amount of revius is significant when it comes to liquids, and therefore could be significant even with regard to solids. Now the Gemara points out here that the relationship between a revius in liquids and a kezias in solids we find elsewhere as well. Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Dover Echad. In other words, they both established that you need a revius of a liquid in order to be chayev for a kezias worth of macholas asuros, of So we're going to talk now about carrying yayin that congealed, which in the language of the Gemara is called yavesh. Just let me see, do we skip anything? 1 second. Avalitaima boit fe, right? So we need, for the proper taste, we need more that we discussed. Udukamret mayim bekad umitztarfim islinyin shabbos midei dechshiv binim. Right, fine, that we did. So now we're up to yavesh bekizayis. So he's carrying out congealed wine. And Rabbi Nosson, as you remember, he requires a kezayis. Now, why does Rabbi Nosson require a kezayis? In other words, if you have non-congealed wine, regular wine, you need a revius. And when we get to congealed wine, we need a kezayis. So in other words, revius is a significant quantity for liquids. And if you convert, let's say you argue that since revius is your shear for chashivus in a liquid form, then rationally you would say, logically you would say that that should be significant for a solid form as well. Again, we're not talking about Rava for a moment, because Rava says that you could be chai for carrying out even a quarter of revius in case of a concentrated wine. But in the case of this brice of Rabbi Nosson, you're not chai for carrying a quarter of an olive size of congealed wine. There's no parallel here. Congealed wine, now in its present state, it's not roy for mizuk. It doesn't lend itself to dilution. So therefore, he's only chayev if he has an olive's worth. Now, an olive size worth would be equivalent to a revius if he, let's say, instead of being congealed, if he converted it back to being a liquid. So basically, the relationship between a revius in liquid form, in its parallel in a solid form, would be to a kezayis. Omer of Yosef. Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Dover Echad. What we see here in Rabbi Nosson in this price, we can find also in Rabbi Yossi. Both in their rulings have the underlying principle that a revius in a liquid is equal to a kezayis in a solid. Meaning if you took a revius of a liquid and you converted it into a solid, it would be a kezayis. Rabbi Nosson Hadamar, we already studied Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda de Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right, we're not up to Rabbi Yosef yet, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shisha Dvar Mikule Beit Shammai, Umichumre Beit Hillel. So the six cases, which are somewhat unusual and rare, but six cases in a dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where Beit Shammai are the Mekilim. That's not generally the case. And the Rashi and others point out that, let's not misunderstand Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't mean that there are only six cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, and of all the arguments in which Beis Hillel are more machmir. There are more than six, but the Brisa would submit us by Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Chazal, in Yavne. These were disputes that they were aware of in Yavne, and those were recorded for all of posterity. There may be other disputes, but they were not reported in Yavne, the great citadel of Torah of Yavne. In any event, one of them is dam nevela, and when an animal dies without shechita, the carcass, the body of the animal, is called nevela. And as far as tumah vitar is concerned, a nevela is called an avatuma, which means that it can be metame yodim v'kelim. And there's machlok shim beisil beit shammai about the dam of a nevela. Does it have the same status as an Ava Tumah as the flesh of the Nevela? And Beit Shammai Mitarim Beit Sil Mitamin. Om Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kishetimu Beis Hillel, Lo Timu Ela Bedam Sheesh Bo Revis, Hol V'yochol Likrosh V'lamar Al Kizais. So if we take the Chumra, the Shita of Beis Hillel, that the Dama Nevela is Metame, as if it were an Avatuma, and it is an Avatuma according to Beis Hillel, that's only if you have the shear of a Revius of Dam. And the reason for that, says Rabbi Yossi, is because that Revius of Yai of Dam, if it was congealed, would, Likrosh means congealed, it would become a Kezias. So it means that Dam is Metami because we consider it as if the, as like the flesh of the Nevela, Bosa Nevela. And therefore the same shear of Tumah for the Nevela applies now to Dam, but Dam is a liquid, and the answer is that if the Dam would congeal, and it has a Revius of Dam, it would become a Kezias. So that also would support the premise that we saw Rabbi Nosson earlier, that a Kezias in solid is what you do, what would parallel the Revius in Yayin if the Yayin became congealed. Now, Amar Abai, he wants to be machalik between Rab Nosson and Rab Yossi. Dilma Lohi. Maybe it's not, shall we say, interdependent. Ad kan lokom Rab Nosson de boy Revius elbi Yayin de klish. Now, as Yayin is relatively a thin liquid, and when it congeals, it loses much of its volume. Aval bidam dismich, blood is more of a thick liquid, is kizayis lo boy revius. It's possible that Rabbi Nosson would disagree with Rabbi Yossi, and he would maintain that to produce an olive-sized piece, he wouldn't require a full revius of dam, because the revius is so thick that even less than a revius of dam would be sufficient, according to Rab Nosson, to be metame dam nevela, to classify it as an avatuma. Inami, you could also, in the flip side, you could say, Ad kan lokom Rab Yossi Rab Yehuda hosam. When Rab Yossi Rab Yehuda maintains that with regard to tumas nevela kizayis sagile berevius, that if you have an olive size, and you want to form an olive size of a congealed substance, and all you need is a revius of dam of in a liquid form, that's only bedam de somech, of a yayin de kolish. Could be that in the case of wine, which is thin, kizayis havi yoser mi revius. Rabbi Yossi might maintain that if you had a shear of kizayis of congealed wine, that would be more than a revius of yayin. You would need more than a revius of yayin in the liquid form to produce a kizayis worth of congealed wine. V'chimapik pochos mi kizayis lichayev. And if that be the case, then as far as being chayev achatos for hotzah, it's very possible that you don't need an olive size of a congealed wine, because all you need is the parallel of a revius wine, and it's possible that to create a kezayis you need more than a revius of yayin, and therefore a revius of yayin could produce even in its congealed form even less than a kezayis. Now the Mishnah discusses chalav kidei gemiyah. And milk is enough to swallow it. A gemiyah means to swallow. Iboilahu, the Gemara vacillates. Kidei gemiyah. What does the Mishnah mean when it says kidei gemiyah, which means enough for swallowing? But it all depends on whether you read gemiyah with an ayin or read gemiyah with an aleph. So gemiyah with an ayin means enough to swallow it. And here the Gemara doesn't know. In other words, the Aleph and the Ayin identical in pronunciation. Back in the time of the Gemara, they were pronounced differently. And the question is, what is the proper spelling of the word Gemia in our Mishnah? And I will have to see if there are any Nafgiminas as we go along. But Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok, he has a proof from a Pasuk in Parshas Chayisor. It says, Hagmini no ma'at mayim mikadech. And the word Hagmini, which means allow me to swallow some water from your jug, is written with an aleph. So we see clearly that to swallow is called Gmiya with an aleph. So therefore, we should spell our Gmiya and our Mishnah with an aleph. Iboilahu, here we're going to turn to Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, Gar'inin o Gar'inin. So we had a Mishnah in the previous Perek, at the end of Perek Al Gadol, that spoke about the minimum amount, the shear of a quantity of food with their shells, without their shells, with their pits, without their pits. And how do we write the word pits? Should it be spelled with an aleph or with an ayin? Omer Rabba Bar-Ula, we can determine this from a pasuk of Vayikra, dealing with a person who was magdish his steachuza, his ancestral field, and now he wants to be goel the sada, he wants to be poda the sada from the gizbar, from Hegdesh. And the Torah in the parsha of a sod of karka sets up a ratio of 50 shekels, 50 silver shekels for 75,000 square cubits of land. And that's in the case of a sada that was mukdash for the whole period of Yovel. Now let's say he was magdish the field for a shorter period of time, then the ratio of pidyon is proportionally decreased. And the pasuk says, v'nigra me'erkecha, which literally translates, it shall be deducted, that's v'nigra, from your valuation. So the word v'nigra, which is spelled with an ayin, means deduction. Okay then? And now we're talking about pits in different foods that have pits and shells and so forth. The word for pit, which means a garin, because with an ayin it's deducted from that part of the fruit or the grain or whatever it is that is edible. So we deduct the pit, as the Mishnah says, from the part that's edible to determine if he's chayav for hotzah and the shear, and that deduction is with an ayin. And now the Gemara is going to go on to ask other questions about the ayin and the aleph, different words, and which spelling is the correct spelling. So Belineta will pick that up tomorrow, and that's Iboilahu, four lines down from the top of Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis.